The date is June 30th, 1995, and we're watching Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, I gotta take it, it's right there, is the Black Ranger to my White Ranger.
Wow, you went for it.
I went for it.
Hello everybody, I'm Colin Stewart.
Low-hanging fruit, but whatever. I mean, it's the most it's ever lined up. Because I'm so an atom. I'm just a frog.
Yeah.
So this week we're looking back at June 1995 when the movies and theaters were Judge Dredd, Congo, Apollo 13, subject of episode 175, Batman Forever, and of course our movie for today, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the Movie, which earned $66.4 million on a $20 million budget. That's respectable.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
I wonder if Turbo was more successful, the Power Rangers sequel.
I don't think so.
No.
But I'm pretty sure Turbo almost killed Power Rangers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, anyways, if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, like flying ravens and, you know,
suicidal parents,
then please hit pause, go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
So I found six taglines this week.
Six. One for each ranger.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the first one, though, is lame. So who's the lamest ranger?
In this movie, the Red Ranger, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, so the Red Ranger tagline is a gift you know they'll love, because that was a Christmas home video TV ad. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, number two, six teenagers have discovered the power to fight the forces of evil. Now the fate of the universe is in their hands. Yep.
All right, sure. Yep.
And that is your 60-second synopsis. Number three, each has a power, each has a purpose, and together they will face their greatest adventure.
Inspirational, I like it.
Inspirational, yeah, that's the poster on the wall hanging up in the office. Yeah. Number four, the power of teamwork overcomes all. That's the other poster hanging next to it.
Yeah, teamwork makes the dream work.
It sure does. Number five, the power is on.
Okay, I was like, I swear that was one. That's the one I remember.
Okay. And finally, number six, bringing it home, you might be able to actually guess this one. You ooze, you lose.
Oh.
No, you didn't expect that. Okay. Curveball.
I have a seventh one.
Wow. Okay.
Because I just read it on the Wikipedia page. In the picture, it says, oh, no, you said this one. Did you say this one? Each has a power, each has a purpose, and together, yeah. Did you say that one?
Yeah,
greatest. All right,
adventure.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Cut this, I retract my statement. Well, oh, no, this one says, and together they will face their fiercest enemy.
Their fiercest enemy? Ooh, a twist, okay. So, yes, we have a twist, so a seventh one, yes. Okay, I accept it as a seventh. Their right. Fiercest enemy.
Well, I am redeemed.
Either way, not very good descriptions of the movie. Well, maybe the second one. But let's find out more from Colin with a 60-second synopsis.
All right. When a new villain, the galactically feared, globally reviled, universally despised Ivan Ooze, arrives in Angel Grove, he takes his revenge on Zordon for imprisoning him for thousands of years by destroying the power chamber, nearly killing the big floating head, and robbing our favorite teenagers with attitude of their powers. The powerless Rangers are forced to travel to the distant planet of Phaedos in an attempt to secure a new power source that will allow them to save Zordon, become Rangers again, and kick Ivan's ass. With the help of the Goblin King's lost daughter, Dulcea, the Rangers tap into the power of the Ninjetti, their Ninjetti animal spirits, and make their way through dangers untold and hardships unnumbered to the center of Phaedos, where they seize the power, get their fancy suits back, and get home in time to save the parents of Angel Grove, who are about to throw themselves off a cliff, and defeat Ivan by throwing him in front of a passing comet.
A bunch of those were nonsense words, right?
There are a few references to Labyrinth, because as soon as I saw Dulcea turn into a little white owl, I was like, and then there's that scene where Tommy's like overlooking the jungle with the monolith in the center, yep. And I was like, this is exactly like Labyrinth.
Yeah, definitely a little bit. Yeah. Oh boy. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie. I think we need to give it its full title as often as possible in this episode. I've mentioned before on the show that I was kind of aged out when Power Rangers came into... Like, it started, what, 93 in North America? Yeah. I mean, I was entering high school. I was just kind of... I wasn't that kid. I wasn't into the Japan stuff at that time in my life, and so it never really hit with me. But my little brother was a big Power Rangers fan, because he's the same age as you, roughly. Mm-hmm. And his generation, it was in my house because of him. And so I am aware of Power Rangers. I kind of have a peripheral love of Power Rangers. But the age that Power Rangers came around, I was thinking of Kimberly as Kimberly the Hot Ranger. Not just the Pink Ranger. She was the Hot Ranger. So I was looking at her that way at my age. So, I mean, this is your party, Power Rangers. Here we are, Sci-Fi Month. I brought forth one of your loves. So what is your history? I mean, tell us all you want about Power Rangers and this movie specifically as well.
Man, I feel like I could do a whole podcast on just like... my favorite things about Power Rangers.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was like the prime age for Power Rangers when it came out. It kind of filled the gap in a post-Ninja Turtles world, you know, when we needed superheroes that could kick ass using martial arts. I'm pretty sure I watched the first episode when it debuted on Fox. I remember waking up extra early to like watch it air like at like 6 in the morning before I got on the bus to go to school sometimes, because in case I missed it on the weekends or whatever, you could catch reruns.
Got to watch that new Power Rangers program. Yeah.
I remember before they started making, or I could find, Power Rangers action figures in stores, like repainting and repurposing my G.I. Joes to be Power Rangers action figures.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just remember...
You still have
getting...
any of those kicking around?
I don't.
Like not at home or in your mom's house or anything? No.
No, like as an adult, not of the ones that I made. As an adult, I have like the OG set of original release Power Rangers toys in my collection. I have two sets, actually. I have one loose set because I've got them for a good deal on Facebook Marketplace, and then I have a whole set of them in the box with like the Dragon Zord and the Tiger Zord, and then the five main Rangers like in their own packages.
Wow, you're legit. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember. I think I talked about this when we did Page Master, but I watched Page Master a million times because in the opening, like trailer credits thing of the VHS, there was like a featurette of kind of like behind the scenes stuff, like a 5-minute thing for Power Rangers the movie, and I would watch that over and over and over again to get psyched for this movie. And I haven't watched this movie in a long time, but I bet this is one of those movies that I've probably seen like in the hundreds of times.
Okay, yeah.
Because I loved it so much as a kid. But yeah, I love Power Rangers, and I don't just love like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Like I've watched Well, I've watched every series that's came out to now, like with Power Rangers Cosmic Fury on Netflix. I watched the Mighty Morphin special Once and Always that came out last year. I've watched the 2017 movie.
Have you read the recent Amy Jo Johnson comic? Or
I
is that
haven't read
out
it yet.
yet? Okay.
It's been released like weekly release, but I've been waiting. I haven't read it because I backed the Kickstarter. So
Okay.
I'm waiting for my trade paperbacks to come in
Nice,
December,
nice.
and then I'll probably read it then. But yeah, I've read I you know I was super excited when all the when Boom Studios got the license and they started making Power Rangers comics, which is exactly what you want. The Power Rangers comics are kind of the same as like what X-Men 97 has done for the old X-Men animated show, where
Ah, yes.
they clearly got the assignment and took
They
a child,
understood.
yeah,
Yeah.
they took a childish thing and made it cool for the grown-up adults who loved it when they were older. Like, yeah, the Power Rangers comic books have done so much to like expand that mythos and that universe and make it, so much cooler and than the show could ever be. But
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, there we
In
go.
sum,
That is
I
Mighty
love Power
Morphin Power Rangers, and that's our
Rangers.
show for this week. Oh boy. Well, no, I'm well said. I mean, that's a passion that I haven't been able to describe with anything on this show. Like, I mean, that would probably be me with He-Man when I was
Yeah.
younger, but I don't know if I even came across I came across more angry with He-Man. I mean, but because they ruined He-Man. But
Yeah.
so that might be the energy you had if we were doing Turbo, the Power Rangers movie then. Is
No,
that...
I still like Turbo. I just know that when Turbo came out, the Power Rangers franchise was kind of at a like to go into Power Rangers history, Turbo like they made Turbo a Power Rangers movie. It didn't do well, and that was the time where like, the characters that had been in Mighty Morphin had stayed on. And then in a post-Turbo world, the cast gets like switched up, and then they start kind of what they've continued to do, where it's like every year it's a new team, a new story, new villains, and
Gotta bring in the new doctor.
yeah, they
Yeah.
go they took a hint from like the Jap that's how the Japanese series works, like Super Sentai, and so they took their cue from that because. By the time that the third season of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers came out, they were losing. They had no more footage to pull from, so they were like splicing things together in order to like make it work. And then they were forced to like have new Ranger suits for Zeo, and then they went to Turbo, and then all these actors like they clearly like weren't getting paid very well and like wanted to do other things, so they were finally like, "Well, I guess we'll just let you guys go, and we'll get some new fresh blood." Flood in, and so
Well, yeah,
that's
I
what they
mean,
did.
I listened to the interview over on the Oblivion Bar with Amy Jo Johnson, the Pink Ranger. Shout out, Aaron.
Yeah,
And
very good interview.
it's just it sounds like Power Rangers was a bit of a nightmare to work on in general. So I,
Oh, yeah.
hearing that it could be even worse than what she discussed is not surprising.
Yeah, they were all like super taken advantage of, and like there was a whole thing where there was like they tried to like band together to get more money, but then a few of them backed out at like the last minute and the other three got screwed. So that's why like the red, yellow, and black Ranger in this movie are not the
Oh yeah,
originals.
I know that.
And there's a whole thing with that. And yeah, there's a lot there's like a it's it that part doesn't get painted into it, but if anybody wants to like learn more about the Power Rangers as like a TV show and the history of how it came to be, a really good thing to watch is the episode of The Toys That Made Us on Netflix about the
Yes,
Power
I've
Rangers.
seen that one. Yes. That is a good episode. Okay, well, I'm about to like launch us in here, but one last question. Just quickly, how do you feel about like the movie that has Bryan Cranston in it, that Power Rangers? Do you like that version of Power Rangers?
I do. I am like upset to this day that we didn't get a sequel or that we're not going to get a sequel to it. I thought like I think like most superhero movies that movie suffers from like being an origin story Like nobody likes watching origin stories.
Yeah, they take care of that with a Star Wars like crawl in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the 2017 movie is setting up for, I think could have been awesome because like they were clearly going to go the Green Ranger route, which would have been awesome, but
Yeah.
yeah, it didn't perform well, so too bad.
Well, here we go. Let's jump into Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, directed by Brian Spicer, who is mostly a TV director. He also directed the classic For Richer or For Poorer, which is a Tim Allen, Kirstie Alley movie. And he directed two episodes of this show that I loved when I was younger called Eerie Indiana, which
Oh
is
yeah, I
like
remember that show.
Twilight Zone for kids, basically. Or, well, not Twilight Zone, I guess, because it's more of a town setting. Like, yeah. Oh, it's like Twin Peaks for kids was more what it
Twin
was,
Peaks, yeah.
or X-Files for kids in a way. Twin Peaks, I think, is more. Anyway, produced by Suzanne Todd, who we've mentioned four times on this show for sure, with Memento, Austin Powers is, Die Hard 2, Die Harder, and also, of course, produced by Haim Saban, as well. He is listed as executive producer and producer for some reason. I don't understand why Haim Saban gets two different types of producer credits,
Yeah, I
but
don't know. <That's>
when I did Zebraman, I noticed some weird things with how they do credits with Japanese movies. So, I mean, it is possible that executive producer means something different in Japan, that they're like, no, I get this one too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? Written by John Camps and Arnie Olsen. Fun fact, neither of these people was affiliated with the series in any capacity whatsoever before this movie.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I looked through. I couldn't find anything that was Power Rangers related. Like, you don't write on the TV. You don't get one of the TV writers to guide your movie.
I don't know. Like, Haim Saban is kind of like, from what I have seen of him being interviewed and stuff, he seems like very much kind of like, he's all about business and kind of a shyster. So it wouldn't shock me if he was just like,
Two
well,
producer credits make sense then.
yeah. It wouldn't shock me if he was just like, if he wasn't under the impression like anybody could write it, like we don't care. Like there's not a lot of loyalty, I don't
These
feel
guys are
like.
cheap, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a vision. He's not like a Jon Favreau type
No, no.
or Dave Filoni. He's not one of these guys that has a singular vision for a universe. Yeah.
Like if it tells you anything, his whole business plan with Power Rangers was basically the fact that they wouldn't have all they had to film was the parts of them not in costume because they just repurposed Japanese footage.
Yeah.
That's the whole premise of how Power Rangers came to be in
Yeah,
America.
exactly. Yeah. So we start this movie up with, like I said, the scroll of letters that tells us the entire story of the Power Rangers. So I guess this movie is accessible to anyone. You can just hop in. You can never have watched a minute of Power Rangers footage before, but you can
Yeah.
throw yourself into this movie and be like, done. I know what's going on. I'm there.
Yeah, it's wild to me watching this movie looking back that aspect. I think when I was watching it, I was realizing I was like, it's the same as how like Paw Patrol the movie, is different from Paw Patrol the TV show.
Right? Okay,
It's like
there, yes.
they're different
I'm
worlds.
there. I
They're
feel you.
the same thing. It's the same but
It's
different.
shinier.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
it's.
shinier, fancier, like,
Yeah.
but yeah,
I
that's kind of
absolutely.
how I felt about it. Because I kept thinking like it's always kind of bothered me. Like with Turbo, they use the movie to lead into the next series, but in the TV show, how they get the Ninja Zords and the Ninja Powers is completely different in the TV show as opposed to the movie. And I always felt that was at my child brain like struggled for years to like put that together. Because like as I said, in a world where I thought every Batman was Batman, my child brain was like, well, Power Rangers, Power Rangers, like.
So we open the movie with our Point Break skydiving moment.
Yeah, I was like, I kept thinking, like, in order to show how cool teenagers are in the 90s, they had to be doing extreme sports.
Yeah.
So it's like they go from skydiving immediately to roller skating and doing it reminded me so much of the opening scenes of the Mighty Ducks movies.
Yeah.
Where it's this is how we introduce a team
But these guys are way more positive than the Ducks. I mean, when the Ducks go along, they're still rapscallions, you know, they're still hoodlums, but these guys, I mean, they're pure, they're good. They're
raising money for like a new observatory and stuff.
Yeah.
A new telescope.
Right. See, I mean, they're all about charity. Why does Tommy have to have the snowboard? What is the point? Like, it's one of these where they probably said because it looks cool, but
I was gonna say, I remember thinking when I was a kid it was super cool, but when I was watching it for this show, I was like, yeah, it is kind of like, it just comes off as like an alpha move. That's how you know he's the leader, because he has the cool extra thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Bulk and Skull. Apparently the story was originally going to be more Bulk and Skull heavy, where they were kind of possessed by Ivan Ooze and everything like that. They were the ones handing out the ooze. I guess that was originally the plan. But anyway, they don't know that the Power Rangers are the Power Rangers, right?
No, they don't.
Okay, I just didn't know whether there was a point in the series where they find out or something.
Oh, there is. There is a point, but it's like, well, it's like
before that, or it's not before this though.
It's at the end of Power Rangers in Space, and they don't even find out that these guys are Power Rangers. They just find out who the current Power Rangers are, that they're Power Rangers.
Okay,
and kind of put it together.
Because like the Power Rangers really aren't good at disguising the fact that they're Power Rangers. I mean,
no,
you choose a different color every once in a while, guys, you know.
I can't remember if like in the original episode there's like Zordon lays out a bunch of rules for them, and in my mind I have it that one of the rules was like they're supposed to wear their color, but that can't be true. But I have always thought, like, it is weird, like, how does any good armchair detective might look around and be like, hey, there's six kids.
These six guys are always hanging around each other.
They're always hanging around each other. They're always wearing the same colors.
It's fucked up. It's weird. Sometimes they go behind a bush and I see a rainbow, and then they're really good at martial arts. Yeah. They're like super athletic. It's weird.
It's the damnedest thing.
Damnedest thing. Yeah. Because their parachute outfits especially, like, their everyday clothes are bad, but their parachute outfits especially, it's like, are you guys wearing the Power Rangers outfits right now? You at least look like you are. There was at least one where it, like, straight up looked like a Power Rangers outfit. Fuck. Okay, let's talk about this cast. I mean, I guess outside of this fandom, I don't know if people really know very many of these names otherwise, but
probably
let's run down this
not.
List. Yeah.
Sure, so we have Karen Ashley as Aisha Campbell, the Yellow Ranger.
Now, I know, yeah, I know she replaced Trina. She is the first African-American female in Power Rangers history whose name appears first in a Power Rangers movie. Now... Mm-hmm. I think that's because they list them alphabetically.
Yeah, it's a really specific...
it's a very specific trivia fact that I found, yeah. But yeah, so she replaces Trina. Trini.
Yeah. Yeah, Hui Tran was the original actress. Trini is like the character, yeah.
She's dead now, isn't she? Didn't she?
Yeah, she died. Yeah. She died on like September 11th. But not in the Twin Towers thing. Like, she
just
died
coincidentally.
Like, in a car accident.
Yeah. Okay, now with Aisha, does she go on to be like part of the series after this, or like was she introduced in the movie and then only ever in the movie?
No, so there's in Power Rangers season 2, there's an episode called a two-parter called The Power Transfer.
Okay. Okay.
Where Trini, Zach, the original Black Ranger, and Jason, the original
Red Ranger, yeah.
Red Ranger, they get accepted to go to this like United Nations ambassador thing. Okay. It's like an international school. And so they need to find replacements, and they're replaced in the show with Aisha, Adam, and Rocky.
Okay, so they were introduced before the movie?
Yeah, the movie takes place between like seasons 2 and 3 of the TV show.
Because it's funny, even though I'm not a Power Rangers watcher, it's Trini, Zach, and Jason that I remember as being part of like my brother's core.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so next we have Johnny Yong Bosch as Adam Park, the Black Ranger. He's actually like pretty big in like anime. Like he's done like a lot of anime. Yeah, anime voice work and like video games and that kind of stuff.
Okay, okay.
Steve Cardenas is Rocky DeSantos, the Red Ranger. Jason David Frank is Tommy Oliver, the White Ranger. Amy Jo Johnson is Kimberly Hart, the Pink Ranger.
The Hot Ranger.
Yeah. David Yost, every boy my age's first crush. David Yost is Billy Cranston, the Blue Ranger.
The glasses free Blue Ranger. And Amy Jo Johnson, did you ever watch Flashpoint?
I did. I loved her. Yeah. I loved her in Flashpoint. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've met at Comic Cons, I've met all of these guys except I haven't met John Young Bosch or Steve Cardenas. Yet, okay. But I have met Austin St. John and
Red Ranger,
Walter Jones, the original Black Ranger. Yeah, okay. Paul Schreier.
Oh my god, holy shit, how do I know this? Like, it's like you say the names, yes. And it's like I fucking know these names,
it's in the culture,
right? Yeah, osmosis from my brother. Like, I picked it up just on the peripheral, that's all it is, yeah,
yeah.
I was a fan of the Blue Ranger. That was the one that I kind of thought, yeah, he's cool shit. And I mean, now he's like glasses free. I guess he got rid of the glasses because he's like, look, they're fucking with my eyes. They were fake lenses, but somehow they were messing with his vision. So he's like, fuck it, I need to get rid of the glasses. So.
Well, it's funny because David Yost originally auditioned to be the Red Ranger. Okay. And he was... Because I think he was like a gymnast, so he was actually like very athletic. Mm-hmm. And then he got cast as like Billy, and like Billy's like first, especially in the first season, he's really depicted as like kind of, if he's not a Power Ranger, basically he can't fight.
Yeah, he's the nerd.
Like he just gets bullied. He's the big nerd, and that kind of stuff.
I gravitate towards the nerds. I mean, I was a Donatello fan. I like the nerds. Yeah.
Paul Schreier is Farkas Bulkmeyer. Jason Narvi is Eugene Skull Skullovich. Paul Freeman is Ivan Ooze.
Okay,
Gabrielle.
No. Here's where I have to stop, is Ivan Ooze. Now, out of all of this list, right, it's like, it's just Power Ranger shit, right? But for Ivan Ooze, I've got alternate castings on Ivan Ooze. Because, like, meanwhile, it's like, who the fuck is this guy, right? Who the fuck is Paul Freeman? I went down his IMDb. The only thing I recognized for him is he was Belloc in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's one of the Nazis in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only thing I recognize him from. But this list, Rowan Atkinson, Phil Collins, Tim Curry... Danny DeVito, Christopher Lloyd, Bob Hoskins, John Voight, and Dennis Hopper were all considered, and Christopher Walken expressed interest.
Wow.
And it's like, and they cast like this, you know, who the fuck is this guy? And it's like, and you had that to choose from? Ivan Ooze could have been Danny fucking DeVito.
I mean, I'm here for the Christopher Walken.
That shit is insane. That is hilarious to me. Yeah, that is quite the list.
Who are you? The Power Rangers. Nah. That would have been amazing.
Yeah. So that's what I have for Ivan Ooze. Yeah, so I had to pause you there. Yeah, before you got to the hot Dulcea.
Yeah, Gabrielle Fitzpatrick as Dulce. I know as Dulce. I know an alternate casting for her was Mariska Hargitay, and I
Yes,
think
she
Mariska Hargitay
was
actually
cast.
film was cast and like filmed parts of it, but then they had to like do reshoots or something, and they replaced her.
What happened? I've actually got the story. Gabrielle Fitzpatrick actually got diagnosed with like an ovarian cyst and had to drop out of the movie. So they put in Mariska, Miss they put in Miss SVU, and they filmed it, and she just didn't have the right chemistry. She wasn't right for the part after they filmed with her for like 3 weeks. And then Gabrielle Fitzpatrick like got a clean bill of health and was able to come back. And so they refilmed everything.
Nice.
And Jennifer Connelly and Denise Richards were alternate casting
Oh,
options.
Jennifer Connelly, who could have had it.
Could have had it. Could have been everything.
Man, Jennifer Connelly, I love her. Nicholas Bell replaces David J. Fielding as Zordon.
Now, is there a reason for that?
I don't know.
Because
I have no idea.
I always wondered. I always thought this wasn't the same Zordon. Like that's I do remember this as not being the same Zordon, but yeah, I was wondering if there was a reason, if you knew.
I don't know why, because as far as I know, this guy, it's not like Zordon is still in the TV show. So like part of it, like I would feel like it's kind of because there's a bunch of guys actually, like Nicholas Zordon, the guy who does Goldar, the voice of Lord Zed, or the guy who's doing Lord Zed and Rita are all like there, those characters are all still in like very present in the show at this time, and at this time also being played
Different
by
people.
American actors, because they, well, Z Lord Zed is an American created character, but they had run out of footage for like the the witch Bandora from Super Sentai like long ago, so they had like actual actors hired to play these characters in the TV show that they then didn't bring into the
Into the
movie,
movie,
which is like a weird.
And they give Lord Zedd this weird, fucked up, like extra veiny look and everything like that. Like they polished him up.
Yeah, I part of me wonders if like obviously you couldn't change the Rangers, because like you would have had like you would have had people be like, well, it's not like the
You
like
would have
kids would
lost
have,
everyone.
yeah, kids would have been like weird about it, but. I wonder, part of me wonders if there was some kind of like weird SAG thing, like maybe there was like a union thing, because as far as from listening to the Oblivion Bar's interview with Amy Jo, like they weren't unionized actors on the TV show, so I wonder if maybe, but I'm pretty sure to like to do a feature film you would probably need to like have unionized actors, or at least be offering people like union cards if you're gonna
Oh,
do it. So
probably.
maybe that's like a reason why they had to get all these new people, because you probably have to like offer people union jobs if they're available.
I imagine so,
Yeah.
So now, okay, we were at Alpha 5. Peter Marie Rickson, does the same person play Alpha 5 in the show? Do you know that?
That I
Or have
don't
you,
know.
no, you're not nerdy enough on your Alpha 5s?
Yeah, I'm not no, it's not the same person. There was a few people who played Alpha in the TV show, but this person only played him in the movie. Bill Hader voiced Alpha in the 2017 movie.
Oh, did he?
So,
Okay.
yeah.
We can go down the list a bit more or here if we want, but I do want to, I mean, whatever. I want to shout out Julia Cortez though, because we talked about her in our Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and this is her only other credit that she had. Aaron was nice enough to bring me that little factoid in that episode. And Jamie Croft as Fred Kelman, apparently Joseph Gordon-Levitt almost did this part.
Oh, that's like the young boy,
The
I'm
kid,
assuming. Yeah.
the main kid that's like, he's the hero. He's the hero at the scrap yard, don't you know? Or at the construction yard, I guess, not scrap yard. Thinking of Gone in 60 Seconds.
That would have been interesting. That would have been like seeing Jake Gyllenhaal in City Slickers.
Right? Yeah, that would have been crazy. So the other bit of trivia that I found out about like all the casting and everything like that is there are very few occasions when the helmets are on that it is actually any of these actors. It is mostly stuntmen in the movie, you know, kind of like the show would have been.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Like, I think the only one who would have been actually stunt capable would have been Jason David Frank.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know that. I only say that because I know he was like a competitive, like, karate martial artist. I guess Steve Cardenas has also taught karate, and maybe Johnny Yong Bosch too. He's done like a lot of like indie martial arts films too.
Well, it seems like they stunts. Yeah, I mean, it seems like they intentionally did as much as they could to let these guys do everything. Like, you know, they kept them unmasked a lot in this movie. Yeah. You know, by throwing in the weird Asian outfits, right? Like the ninja outfits. We've gone skydiving, and my thought was, holy shit, that's Australia. I recognize that because I have become addicted to this channel on my television, which is called Armchair Tourist. Okay. And it's just, they set up cameras at various places around the world, or people have and submitted these videos. They're never live. That's the disappointment. I've started to see repeats and everything, but it has a little code. It's like, where in the world am I? And I have seen that tower, that Australia. It's like in Melbourne, I think. I think it's Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So I was kind of excited to, and my trivia confirmed that, yes, they were in Australia. They were originally supposed to film in U.S. and Canada, but I don't remember the circumstances of why they went there. But yeah. So, and hey, that Armchair Tourist channel, I have seen a few different Edmontons on there as well.
Yeah.
So we've hit the parachute jump for charity. We've snowboarded right across the bullseye. When Bulk and Skull jump out of the plane, I mean, this is where, you know, like, the Nickelodeon of it all comes in. Like, I know it's not Nickelodeon, but it's still, there's some of the same acting style. They do not put those parachutes on properly when they jump out of the plane. He's got it slung over one shoulder when he jumps out. I mean, come on, at least two shoulder it if you want me to believe that. God.
Well, I mean, they almost jump out without them. So, I mean, you know, that's right. One shoulder's an improvement.
Yeah. Guys, you're forgetting something. Oh god, I mean, yeah, you got to admit that, like, there is definitely that teenage quality to it where it's like, okay, this is cheesy, right? Like, as much as you love Power Rangers, I hope you at least see the cheese, and, you know.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Like going back to even watching this show, like, it's a tough watch.
Yeah.
Like, it's difficult to. There are some seasons that are better than others, but yeah, Mighty Morphin especially is a tough watch to go back to.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, meanwhile, Bulk and Skull, they do end up landing in that construction
quarry.
In the quarry, where we find the weird manhole cover with a face engraved on it. And inside, it's a giant hand holding an egg. So, I mean, pulling out the huge special effects in this, right? Like, it really is that a bigger prop than they would have in, like, the original? Like, can you see the budget increase in props like that? Or is it only in things like Mission Command where they've really shined up the place?
No, I would say that is a bigger prop as well. Like, again, there's that in, like, the CGI. Like, the show, obviously, back in the day anyways, there was no CGI.
Mm-hmm. Oh, which, I mean, really was terrible.
We'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there. Let's save that. We'll get there.
Okay.
But yeah, you didn't see a lot of those, like, big set pieces in the show. Whenever they showed up, they were clearly from, like, the Japanese footage. And then when they would pan back to the American actors, it was like, nowadays you can tell, like, they're clearly just, like, miming, like, looking at nothing.
Yeah. That's why I was excited to see, like, Australia. Where I'm like, hey, they're in a real place. That's cool. You know, the other thing that was cool about them being in Australia was signs on buildings. And I think that means it's time for Sponsorship Corner. Actually, I guess I should have brought, you know, I could have also mentioned that the Yellow Ranger is always branded with Nike. So always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is brought Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, is brought to you by Nike, especially Air Jordans. Holy shit. That kid is wearing the Air Jordans cap. A bunch of them have Air Jordans caps. Starter hats, the Atlanta Braves, 7-Up, Jell-O, Toyota, IBM. IBM was one of the ones that was on the building. Protech helmets, Park Royal Hotel, which was another one of the buildings, and Gowing Steakhouse, which was real. I couldn't believe that they were like actually the Park Royal Hotel and the Gowing Steakhouse were both real, but Australia. Plus, of course, brought to you by Ooze. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. They're hawking that ooze. I mean, it's free, but
yeah,
it's a poor business plan.
One of the things I found really weird about this movie is even though Ivan Ooze is an original character to this movie, the circumstances around him coming have like no originality because they just took Rita Repulsa's story from the TV show, even though she's in this movie, applied it to him and like went off to the races. Like, it's just, it mirrors, like, in her situation, it's some astronauts open a space dumpster, whatever that means. And in this situation, it's like some construction workers just, like, pull the plug on a thing and crack open some purple ooze.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned it already. So let's talk about it because they crack it open and Ivan Ooze transforms. Oh boy, that is some rough. That's some almost unforgivable CGI. I mean, it's.
I wish I could go back and like really think about what, like, I wish I could remember what my child brain thought of the CG in this movie.
I mean, yes, because I do talk about the ooze, but we also have the Zords to get to.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned that. Talk about whichever one you want because they're both bad.
When I was watching this movie, I kept thinking, I remember the Ivan stuff being much better than it. And I was like, maybe it's just because I'm watching it like HD on a much larger TV. You know, it's, I'm not watching on a tube TV, like on VHS. So maybe that has
some excuses. Yeah.
There's too many pixels. But yeah, it was so bad. But the Zords, man. We can't hold off on it anymore. The Zords are so bad.
I mean, the big question
so
is
bad.
Why would you? Like, I understand you've got all this extra money thrown at you, but why wouldn't you just get nicer models?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you just go for a nicer, like, polish up what you already do? Because it works. It looks better.
Yeah.
They wanted to use the shiny new toy. Is it really the better toy? No, it wasn't. Not in this case. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say in hindsight, even, keeping, like the Paw Patrol movie theory alive is, like, maybe they should have just not tried to, like, link it with the TV show. Like, maybe just had, like, completely new stuff instead of trying to like ape the Japanese stuff. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's because it's just like, you know, in the show, the Zords are clearly done by just like a mix of better painted action figures and then people in Zord costumes.
Yeah.
But it was like for the movie, if you're going to do the Zord, you really needed to, I would have said, get rid of the new costumes, get rid of the armor, keep the old costumes, put all the extra money you have into, like, the Zords.
Yeah. The best kaiju you can build.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
I couldn't get over how bad they're, especially, like, the face of the Megazord. And then there's also something, like, with the lighting. I remember it being darker, but there's these weird lighting shifts where sometimes it looks like they're fighting at night, but then there'll be a scene where they're like clearly fighting in like daylight and the CGI is really just like clashing with the daylight scene and stuff, and
it's
bad.
It's so rough. It's very, very, very bad.
Like, they look... The CGI in this movie looks unfinished. It, like, by today's standards. Like, it looks like...
Very true. Yeah, it looks like it's... This is what I'm submitting to get approval on before I do the final.
Like, these are our 3D models.
Yeah.
So you can see how it's going to play out. But, like... You know, we're going to take a couple passes afterwards to add some definition, but, like, I don't know, maybe in 1995 they weren't there yet, but, man,
well,
it's bad.
I mean, yeah, on this show, I mean, we've seen the CGI evolve from the last Starfighter CGI to Jurassic Park, and this one is in the wrong spot, though, because we've seen better CGI that predates this.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem, is this should not be 1995 CGI, because we've seen better 1990. Oh, they went too heavy on it. Now, after this movie, do these particular Zords carry on for a little while?
Like I was saying, these Zords are based on, like, I think it's Mega Ranger, like Super Sentai, but it's like, so they're introduced in their own way in season 3 of the Power Rangers TV show, but they don't look like they look better, weirdly.
Do they function the same thing? Like,
oh yeah, like it's still like the
frog.
Yeah, it's still all the same animals and the Falcon Zord and all that. It's the same Zords. They just don't look as shitty, and it does carry on.
So they figured out how to do it for the TV show. So wow, okay.
Yeah, because like they just
it's sad.
Like I said, they just went back to the Japanese footage for like the next whatever series was they had available to steal these robots from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's like the movie then took those and tried to make their own fancy thing that looked like absolute garbage.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah,
and I kind of feel like it's a little bit more of a slap in the face, because I feel like the reason why it looks so bad is probably because it's like they just didn't respect their audience. They were like, this is a movie for kids, we don't like they'll just like it because it's big robots, we don't have to put money into making it look nice, they'll like it, they'll just take what we give them and they'll like it, you know.
Yeah.
And we probably did.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I know that when they finally get their level up and they walk out in their new costumes, and I'm like, and here we get introduced to the new toy line.
Yeah.
There we go. Like,
the,
you know, like...
The funniest thing about this movie is, like, the Ninjetti costumes also come into play in the TV show, because they get the ninja powers, they just get in a different way. But they get these Ninjetti costumes, and the whole reason that they did that was because they had run so far out of Ranger footage at that time. They needed a bridge, like, cool superhero costume to use that was, like, less expensive, and less, like, onerous, to, like, kind of fill these fight scenes so that they could essentially be the true Power Rangers less.
Okay. If it works, it works, right? Okay, so we can let the CGI drop at this point, I guess. Right? Yeah. So we now meet Ivan Ooze. What is that odious stench? It smells like teenagers. Of course it smells like teenagers.
I could not, like, get over how much Ivan Ooze reminds me of a Batman 66 villain. Yeah, like, that is where this character should live.
Especially when he ends up at the carnival and he's, you know, handing out the ooze and he's got his face painted and everything like that. It's like, why not leave your face purple?
Yeah.
They'll think that's cool too.
Yeah. That's everything. Even when he's like destroying the command center, like, yeah.
He's very goofy. Very goofy. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I ended up reading more Batman 66 comics recently.
Oh, nice. So
it's just like I've got all these new Batman 66 stories in my head.
I can't remember. Do they meet Ivan and then he makes the little monsters and then they fight and then they morph and then they're looking for him or whatever. Or they're looking for the monsters. And then we get the, like... You know, the other place where they spent money where they shouldn't have, in my opinion, it was like the stupid headlight helmet and the weird visor bullshit, like that stuff was like so stupid.
Yeah, and so only yellow has the light, so if yellow goes down, you guys no longer have no a flashlight. Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah, we've got all those fights. I will say that I thought that the fights were actually pretty legit. I will give credit where credit's due. As cheesy as this movie can be, the fighting was pretty legit. And so, yeah, all those fight scenes leading up to them going down in the tunnels with the flashlight helmet were pretty great.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I found the Foley work really distracting because it was like any time they moved their arm, it was like
The other question I have though is, are the female Rangers as damsel in distressy as they are in this movie? I mean, you know, I will say that yellow and pink hold their own most of the time, but so often they are trapped in a corner and one of the men has to come bail them out. I have noticed a kind of misogynistic undertone to, and you know, like I could understand if that was the case in the Japanese stuff, but here you are making an American movie. Why do you have to make them damsel in distress? It seems like, you know, Aisha and Kimberly are always needing Tommy to come save them, or Billy.
Yeah, I would say in the TV show, Kimberly is always kind of that way because of the, you know, there's the whole Kimberly Tommy romance, so it always kind of plays into that trope. Aisha in the show, I think she's more like, I've always kind of felt like the Yellow Ranger. And this is kind of because in the Japanese show, the Yellow Ranger is male.
Yeah, cause no skirt. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the TV show, the Yellow Ranger is always a little bit more like independent female, like, you know, strong, independent woman. Yeah. Especially when Trini was there. But still, yeah, with Aisha, too.
Yeah, I just noticed that a lot in this movie. I mean, you know, there's times when it's kind of like, okay, I've had enough Tommy. Yeah. Tommy doesn't always have to be the hero, and it always seemed like he was saving Kimberly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Tommy's the shit.
Who is your guy? I don't think I asked you. I mean, I said I was partial to Billy. Who is your guy?
Like 100% Tommy. I remember, yeah. Like, you know, rest in peace, JDF, Jason David Frank. Like, I don't know that there's been a celebrity death in my like life, celebrity deaths that have like actually made me legitimately depressed. It's like Chester Bennington from Linkin Park and Jason David Frank. I remember reaching for my phone when I woke up and seeing like an Instagram post from Walter Jones like insinuating that he had died, and I was like heartbroken. And I had just met him
at a con
at the con before COVID. And, you know, he's the only like celebrity at a con that I've ever paid, you know, the price to go do like the actual photo op and everything. And he was just like, he was everything that you like want, like that experience to be. Like, he was so nice. He's 100%. I backed his Kickstarter for, Legend of the White Dragon, which will end up being his last film, that should come out like, I think early next year. But he's 100% Tommy. Jason David Frank is my OG Power Ranger for sure.
Okay, well then I'll stop dunking on Tommy. I'll stop saying I've had enough Tommy.
It's all good.
So Ivan Ooze goes and destroys Mission Control. I mean, poor Alpha 5 is flipping out. And is Zordon always this Wizard of Oz situation going on where there is a body in a crystalline chamber somewhere while his head is projected? Like,
no, that's like the one weird thing about the movie. In the show and even in the comics, like, Zordon's whole thing is he's essentially trapped in a dimensional warp.
Yeah, okay.
So I do remember even as a child being confused, like, oh, he's actually in the tube? Like, yeah, that's not the way it works.
He got broken out of the tube. Like, the Phantom Zone got cracked open? Is that what's going on? Yeah, I was just making sure that because I'm not super well versed in the series, I was, you know, making sure. Yeah. So they find out that they've only got, you know, Zordon is dying, so they've got luckily just enough power to send them to the one place in the universe where they can get a power source that will save him. And so they get sent to Phaedon. At this point, Ivan Ooze takes over the throne from Lord Zedd and Rita Repulsa and just says, you know, fuck you. You guys aren't in this movie anymore. Mm-hmm. And banishes their asses.
Yeah.
And makes a bunch of psychotic bird creatures out of terrible CGI.
Yeah. Another difference from the show. They have, like, Zedd and Rita have Goldar. But in the show, there's like Goldar, Squat, Babu, and Finster, kind of like the main monsters in their little group. But then inexplicably in the movie, they have this like warthog guy who's just in the back for no reason,
just hanging out. Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of like when Turtles: Secret of the Ooze didn't go with like Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like you've got these off-brand versions of the same characters. The Great Value brand.
The Wish brands. Yeah. Now, what is this no name? President's Choice.
any of the above, yeah.
Western so, Family. I think that's the last one I can think of.
So on the mysterious planet with the teenagers, meanwhile, we see that there's a mysterious figure in a teal cloak that is watching the Power Rangers. The Amazonian, she is gorgeous. This woman is beautiful, I have mm-hmm. to say. You know, a show that's geared towards kids, I'm surprised that they went with, like, such a racy outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it. Yeah, like they, you know, Kimberly's always showing a little navel. They always like doing, you know, stuff like that. But it's like this is a lot.
Yeah, this is like Slave Leia.
Slave Leia. I mean, I'm not complaining, but I just want to, you know, point out that I understand that, you know, nowadays maybe they give her some pants.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman at least gets the leather skirt and.
I do find it. I've always found it weird that like the save is just to like use the whistling stick.
Yeah, it's like defeating Venom with a bunch of,
I guess, with the
pipe stuck in the ground, doing a rendition of Stomp around him. Yeah. But yeah, so she ends up coming to the rescue of them. During the bird fight, all the birds that Ivan Ooze sent out to her, and I mean, luckily it's like, you know, they've said Martha, you know she stops. She's about to like destroy them basically, and it's like, whoa, wait, Zordon, you know Zordon, and he's in trouble. Okay, you guys are cool.
It doesn't take much to win her over.
No, not much at all. Yeah. So she will help them find the great power. Meanwhile, Ivan Ooze, his plan to get the parents to touch his ooze is starting to take effect. The little side quest in this movie, we gotta have a hero kid. You always have to have like the hero kid that you can identify. You can't have a Care Bears the movie without having the kid standing beside them going, I care, even though he doesn't have an emblem on his chest. I mean. So you have to have this side plot with the kid, but it's, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, the whole side, yeah. I'm on board with the, you know, he needs to brainwash the people to dig up his robots or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, I didn't really feel like the kid needed to be involved all that much. But I guess it is one of those things. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe kids require, like, you need to be able to see your place in the movie in order to really enjoy it.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you can't necessarily identify with all these grown kids, right? They're practically adults. You know, you need to see yourself in the movie.
I was thinking afterwards, though, like to your point at the beginning, that instead of that kid, this is where I would have much rather have like seen the Balkan Skull show. Like I would have rather had like Balkan Skull be the B story while the Power Rangers are away. Like they're kind of like the people who take over the interactions with Ivan.
Yeah. But no, instead, much like Rita Repulsa and Lord Zedd, they get pushed to the side. You hardly ever see them again. So back on Phaedon, we got the animal ceremony happening where they get their new totems. Aisha, the bear, fierce and unstoppable. Rocky, powerful and smart. The mighty ape. Billy, he's the wolf. He's cunning and smart. Agile Kimberly, light as a feather. She's the crane. And I love the Adam. I'm a frog. But even her reasoning to make him feel better is the shittiest reasoning in the world. It's like, yes, and one kiss, you
Like a
turn into a
prince.
handsome prince. It's like, yeah, she doesn't actually list any of his attributes. It's like, yeah, you're pretty, Adam. Don't worry. At least you're pretty.
That's true.
And Tommy Falcon, winged, he's the Lord of the Sky. And apparently, there was also supposed to originally in the script be like an extra scene where they like camp out at her house for the night. They've got like s sleeping bags in their respective ranger color, and they're trained by Dulceia the next morning, and to learn how to use their ninjutsu powers.
I was
Yeah,
gonna say,
so.
what the fade on like little adventure is missing is a good training montage.
Yeah, and there was supposed to be apparently, I guess you probably have the DVD, I'm guessing.
I do.
The scenes were filmed, and one scene of the Rangers training is included in the making of special on
Oh.
Mighty Morphin. So if there's a fight scene in there that you don't recognize, it would have been part of this training montage that never happened.
I'll have to check it out. I didn't watch it on my DVD. I just watched it on Disney Plus.
Oh, here we go. None of the scenes were in the theatrical cut because they were filmed with Mariska Hargitay.
Okay.
And so they didn't film that back with Fitzpatrick. Yeah, so there we go. Man, to be a mind controlling bad guy, oh, you can just get people to dance for you. It's amazing. I love how he says, first Angel Grove and then the universe. Like, he really skips a couple steps when he's talking about his plan. He's going from Angel Grove, he's going from this sleepy hollow in Middle America to the universe. Not even the world,
Hey, just
the
skipping the world,
universe.
the
Just
country,
skip the galaxy. Yeah,
the
the. So they go for the power source, and we get the big fight with the stone guys out front, and the skeleton dinosaur. They have to ride the skeleton dinosaur. That one didn't look bad. There must have
No.
been a lot of practical shit in that, or they really got CG bones down better
No,
than CG metal.
I think that was mostly practical.
Yeah.
I remember watch like I had was remembering it as it was about to come up, and I was like, oh, I wonder if this is still gonna look like or still be as like look as good as I remember it. I thought it wasn't actually that bad. Like, there's a few times when you like when you see it running at them or whatever, where it looks kind of cheesy, but for the most part, it's a pretty fun scene.
Yeah, not too bad. And I love the throwback to our Action Month last month where Rocky does the time cop move in the middle of that canyon. Goes up in the splits. Yeah. But yeah, with the conclusion of the fight, we are introduced to an entirely new toy line, and they get to go back to Earth, and
You know what's wild is there they didn't actually make movie accurate toys until like fairly recently, like 2018, I think. They made like a line where they actually like look like the costumes from the movie. The
yep.
toys that came out when the movie was released were just like metallic repaints of like the original line of figures. And then they took the robots from like Japan and like gave them new boxes and stuff. But I remember the big thing before we started recording, we were talking about McDonald's, and I was just remembering that I remember the Happy Meal toys for this movie were highly sought after because they were the most like actual movie accurate looking Power Rangers. Like I don't know about you, but I remember like when Happy Meal toys came out, you know, there were some that were like they looked kind of cheap or whatever, and like they looked like action figures, but like they didn't really move. They had no posability or anything like that.
Oh, I phoned around to multiple locations for all the Muppet Babies when those were out. Like I remember the obsession over certain toys, and some of them were great.
But the ones that they put out for the Power Rangers movies were like
Oh, they were
they were
cheap.
like legit. They were like legit. The figures were like legit action figures where like they had like the arms would move and the legs would move, and then they had their little like Zord. The Zords were kind of cheap looking, but you could still like put them in there and they could ride in the Zords and stuff.
Okay,
And I remember
yeah.
I wanted them so bad and I never did get them.
Oh, little Colin with his broken heart.
Yeah. Kids today don't know how good they have it. Nowadays, you can like find any toy for anything that you want.
Well, you could probably find those particular McDonald's
Oh
toys
yeah,
too
I
if you
could.
really wanted, yeah.
They're just not as nice as I remember them being.
So because they've gotten back to Earth to get their Zords ready, and Ivan Ooze has sent the parents to their lemming-like death at the quarry, the one kid in town realizes what's up, and he goes to rally all the other kids to save the parents. The one kid, he figures out how to drive a monorail really easily.
Yeah.
Like so easily, so quickly, in fact. Like I think this guy's been planning this for a while. It's been like one day. He's been watching that fucking monorail. He's like, one day, boy, I tell you what, I am going to be driving that monorail around this city. I'm gonna take that puppy for a joyride. Woo, monorail! Makes me think of the Simpsons episode too.
Monorail, monorail. Monorail. I remember always thinking the scene where Tommy flies the Falcon Zord to like bridge the gap is super cool.
Superman. It's
Oh yeah,
like,
it is like
oh,
Superman too, yeah.
yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I'll be there in a second. I have to do this. Okay, so now we're trying to stop parents from jumping off a cliff. Is the water cannon the best way to do it? Would that really do anything extra other than what the kids were already doing? It's not
Yeah,
like it was waking them up.
that was weird because in my mind when I was remembering as a kid, I thought that the water broke the spell. That's how I remembered it. But then yeah, like it's almost like he's just using the water to like give the kids extra power to push them back. But
Yeah, like he's going like riot hose style on them, but still, like, is it enough force? Especially when it's like he's playing a very tenuous game of Tetris or something, where he's like, okay, you gotta push this row back, okay, you gotta push this row back.
yeah,
Yeah, this is
it's like that
Space
carnival.
Invaders.
It's like that carnival game where you have the water gun race.
The
Yeah, we already went through the
clown
bad.
mouth.
I'm gonna say I was saved the worst CGI of all the CGI to me has to be when Ivan like
Oh.
goes into that one robot. I couldn't believe how bad that looked. Because
Yes,
I in
thank
my
you.
mind before watching this movie, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that actually like being kind of cool when I was a kid, but
Yeah, oh boy.
it
Oh
was
boy.
so bad.
And the use in case of emergency button
Oh, yeah,
is
the
a kick
nutshell.
in the nuts. It's Rochambeau is the finishing move that this Megazord
Yeah, no power sword, no
No, I'm gonna kick you in the junk. That's how I'm gonna knee you right here. That robot doesn't have testicles. There's no danger.
Yeah.
Is that where the gas tank is? I ruptured the
Yeah,
fuel cell. Ugh. That was like the dumbest ending to the fight that there could have been, as far as I'm concerned. Like you said, yeah, where's the power sword? Why aren't we cutting off like a leg or something? Yeah. Mm. Apparently, this is the only Power Rangers that uses the word kill, that references kill. I'm going to kill them.
Huh.
I don't know. That was in trivia. Yeah. So then we end the film after we've kicked the thing in the nuts and all the power has brought Zordon back from the death. You know, giving children around the world, you know, a great lesson on mortality, that we can just bring someone back to life with Power Rangers magic. And then to end the film, we have a fireworks display. And Fred is talking about how he's going to be how he doesn't know they're Power Rangers, but whatever. He's announcing that he's going to be one day. He's either going to be the Silver Ranger or the Gold Ranger. Both of those Rangers have become real Rangers in the future, haven't they?
Yeah, the first Gold Ranger was Austin St. John returned in Power Rangers Zeo, Jason, and becomes the Gold Ranger, and then in Power Rangers in Space, we get the first Silver Ranger, Zane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then there's been a few Gold Rangers. There's definitely been more Gold Rangers since than Silver Rangers.
Oh yeah, who wants to come in second? So I guess filming this final scene, it turned into a disaster because local radio DJs caught wind of it and tried to turn it into a Meet the Power Rangers contest. So yeah, they got a little swamped with crowds for that final scene. But the end. Oh, except for the mid-credit scene where, like,
they come back.
Lord Zedd comes back, yeah. Goldar is going to be the ruler of the universe, but then, yeah, Rita Repulsa and Lord Zedd show up again. But there we go. That is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. Now, Colin, on IMDb, it scored 5.3 out of 10, has a Metascore of 40. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 32% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 57. But Colin, those are just numbers. Like using the just in case of emergency button, hit us with some reviews.
Alrighty. Ian M says 3 out of 5 stars, a good time film. Nothing to write home about, which is an ironic statement given I am taking time out of my day to write a review. Regardless, it is not a film I regret watching, but saying this, I wouldn't actively suggest people to go out of their way to watch this. It seems in the 18 years since the film, I have forgotten oh so much about this franchise, but it was rather easy to pick up the action and the fight scenes were choreographed as well as I expected. The thing that caught me out was how many of the terrible throwaway jokes made me actually laugh a little, especially by the character of Ivan Ooze. I had a good time watching it, certainly better than what I was expecting going into it, but Citizen Kane, it is not. That's becoming a pet peeve of mine.
Oklahoma's always the musical.
Yeah, Citizen I hate when Kane's people reference like it's oh it's not Citizen Kane. Yeah, like okay,
I'm a douchebag. Yeah, like, yeah. I know. I wrote down one of the lines that made me laugh. It was the "Yes, your royal heinous highness." I thought that was a good line. I mean, there are stupid lines like that that actually made me laugh. There were a few that I found funny. So
yeah.
You know, he's got some points there, but it's no Citizen Kane.
Yeah, he finishes, overall, though, if you're a fan of the Power Rangers, you will love it, and if you like a lighthearted kids action film, you will enjoy it. Otherwise, watch it if you want. Who am I to tell you what to do? I'm not your mother.
No, you are not. My mother never once referenced Citizen Kane in her life.
Malik McDowell says 5 out of 5 stars. As a longtime, lifelong fan here, Power Rangers is back, baby. The action, the cheesy dialogue, it all comes together really beautiful, like when Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel. This movie is the Sistine Chapel. We all should just feel lucky to have witnessed it in our lifetime. P.S. The Blue Ranger can get it.
You know, pump the brakes on that guy as well. Like both of these people have to, like, you know, just take a step back from their respective opinions and calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
That guy's a little too eager for this movie. The first guy was a little too hating on the movie. Yeah.
And then lastly, Dylan J says 5 out of 5 stars. Excellent movie. The plot is very interesting and well thought out. Action scenes are enthralling and had me on the edge of my seat. The comic reliefs had me in tears. The emotional arc of some of the Power Rangers was very heartwarming and executed beautifully with thorough precision. The effects leave little to be desired and are a visual treat for all involved, akin to the likelihood of Doctor Strange. All in all, this film really teaches Marvel what a superhero film should be. The Pink Ranger's ass.
Take notes, Kevin Feige.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh boy. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. Like I said, it's your show. So, I get it. It's Power Rangers. So I'll keep this concise, I think. The fighting is legit. The CGI is terrible.
Oh, come on, you gotta rhyme it. You gotta say the fighting's legit. The CGI is shit.
Okay. The fighting is
Yeah.
legit. Yeah, the CGI is shit. And if you're watching this movie, you know what you're getting into. I mean, I can't rhyme that last part, but I mean, yeah, it's if you're watching this movie, you know what Power Rangers is. I don't think anyone is watching that crawl in the first 10 seconds of the movie and going, oh, so that's what's going on with this. Okay. Like, yeah, you're a Power Rangers fan. So it's, yeah. So that's my review of it. Yeah, the fighting's legit, the CGI is shit, but it's Power Rangers. You know it's Power Rangers. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
Colin, yeah. I mean, you're the real fan, and you've already admitted that, like, you go some of the stuff's painful to watch. So, yeah, realize on Power Rangers. What do you think on this viewing? When was the last time you saw this too?
You know what? I think, weirdly, I think it was the first thing I watched when I got Disney Plus.
Okay.
So probably like whenever Disney Plus came out was the last time I'd watched it before this.
That was somewhere in 19, 20, somewhere around
20,
there. Like,
yeah.
yeah. Well, it would have been pre-20 because we were already binging it on our couches in 20. So, yeah, probably 19, 18.
I feel. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. In my mind, I feel like it came out like kind of just as the pandemic was happening, but maybe it came out in 2019. But I don't remember. Let's see. What can I say?
But it has been a few years, no matter what. Okay, yeah.
I don't love. This is not my favorite of Power Rangers. I actually think in terms of a Power Rangers movie, I like Power Rangers Turbo more,
Okay.
just because I think the story is better and it just feels more grounded. Like it's closer to the show. Power Rangers Turbo doesn't have the like the Paw Patrol effect, where it's like
Okay.
where it has the extra the like extra zhuzh put on top
Yeah.
of it. I don't feel like that works for this movie as well as it works for Paw Patrol, unfortunately. I don't love it as much as I used to. I still don't hate it. Obviously, it's still Power Rangers, so I'm still honor bound to love it forever. But I was beyond blown away by how terrible the CGI was.
Yeah,
Like,
it's
it was shocking to me that somebody let that go to production.
yeah. I mean, for Turbo, like I remember that movie even less than this one. But
Yeah.
I know that's the one where Jason does come back, doesn't he?
Jason and Kimberly come back, but not as Power Rangers. They get kidnapped by the bad guy and like held hostage.
Okay.
And
Do they
yeah.
try to do any weird CGI shit in that one?
Not really, no. Pa like
No.
Power Rangers Turbo is very much in keeping like it's like a straight transition from Turbo to the show.
Okay.
And it, like I would say like this movie is not in canon, whereas Power Rangers Turbo is in canon of the TV show, even though it was a theatrical release,
Okay.
if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, I don't know. I like Ivan Ooze. I think he was fun. That guy clearly seemed like he was having a lot of fun playing that character. For all the Power Rangers it has, if I could make one, my critique of this movie is like it lacks Angel Grove.
Yeah.
Again, I'll take it back to Paw Patrol. Like Paw Patrol,
The
they go,
Bulk and Skull,
yeah,
influence, yeah.
they go to Adventure City or whatever, but you still get to see like Mary Goodway and Chickoletta and all that. Like I'm acting like
Yeah.
I'm like a Paw Patrol like fucking lover
I
here.
know, a fucking scholar,
I've just
yeah.
seen it a million times because I have
Oh,
a
don't worry.
3-year-old. But
Yeah.
it's like, but in like the Power, it's like you know they're in Angel Grove, but like you don't get to see Ernie's Juice Bar where they hang
Yeah.
out like most of the time in the
That
TV
would
show.
be
You
like
don't.
having a 90210 movie without the Peach Pit. You know,
Yeah,
it's
like
the same sort of idea.
you don't get to
Yeah.
see all those kind of like hallmarks of Angel Grove that you get in the show, and so
Yeah, you could have shined those up.
yeah.
Could have shined up their old stomping grounds.
I also think it was a mistake getting rid of like just taking Zed and Rita completely out of the equation
Yeah.
because they're super funny, and I think it could have also been, it would have also been cool if it was like they took a back seat, but they were still there to be like, oh, like. You guys think we, like to just like show how bad Ivan is in comparison to him or to them. I mean, to have them still kind of be in play would have been something more interesting, but
Or you could have had two different bad guys doing two different schemes at the same time.
yeah.
Like Batman villain style.
Yeah.
I
So,
don't know.
yeah, I still like, yeah, I still enjoyed it. I still enjoyed it, but I can def I the shine the shine is off a little bit. I can definitely see a lot of the flaws in this movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's no Citizen Kane.
Yes, yeah, it's no Citizen Kane, it's no Oppenheimer, you know, like
I mean, I liked it better when it was called Voltron. And there we go. That is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. And that's our show for this week. If you like that show, boy, oh boy, you could just tell someone because word of mouth is so important for a podcast. It means a lot coming from a person more than reviews or ratings ever could. But hell, you should give it a rating too. Why not go over to whatever app you listen to your podcasts on? Take a couple minutes, just give us a few stars and give us 5 stars. Help drive us up some charts, help us get noticed. Or if you want to be our goddamn hero and donate to the show, go over to patreon.com/ I used to like this one. Become part of our Patreon family, and you get a shout out just like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
And be sure to check out our website, iusedtolikethisone.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages. Drop us a line at iusedtolikethisone@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter in the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music, or, you know, if you're in the Edmonton area, I mean, God, summer's coming. He's always performing everywhere. Oh boy, Colin. So Sci-Fi Month next week, I'm really excited about this one because, as I've always said, Bruce Willis with hair is the best Bruce Willis. So we're doing some Bruce Willis with hair. And next week we're doing The Fifth Element.
That's a favorite of mine.
Yeah? Okay,
Yeah.
this isn't a first time watch. Lilu
No, no.
Multipass, you know all this? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love The Fifth Element, so I'm excited 'cause it's been a little while since I've seen it.
Yeah, me too, actually. It's been over 10 years since I've watched it for sure.
What I love about this is the where Gary Oldman stops being a bad guy and turns into a good guy. Like it's after this movie that he like becomes Sirius Black and Commissioner Gordon and goes on his good guy kick for a little while. Yeah. So but I love him as the bad guy in this one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching this movie because it is one of those ones that I liked it. It's I don't know. It's always tough because when I think about movies that I really liked when I was a teenager because my sensibility was so different. And so I found if there's been a few movies on this show that I know I used to really love as a teen that I'm like now I'm just kind of like meh. Like, but I'm hopeful that Fifth Element will be one I still enjoy.
I feel confident it probably will be, so I hope so, yeah. So there we go. So until next time, I'm Sean Wells.
I'm Colin, more phenomenal Stewart.
more phenomenal. And we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on I Used to Like This One.